Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Ron Kangas is joining us again today to fellowship concerning the life study of Genesis. And Ron, as always, it's nice to have you back.
I enjoy being here. Thanks for asking me in today.
Ron, these chapters 30 and 31 of Genesis, we're going to see, of course, reveal a very interesting story. But our focus is not just the story. We're discovering the principle of life in all these passages in Genesis. What is the background of our life study today regarding Jacob and his experience with Laban?
We have seen that Jacob is very clever. He's a supplanter. He was able to get the birthright from his brother. He was able to usurp the blessing from his father. However, this required him to flee the anger of his brother. While escaping, he had a dream at Bethel, a heavenly vision concerning God's house. Eventually, he arrived at Uncle Laban's. He promptly fell in love with Rachel, Laban's second daughter, and out of his love was willing to work for Laban for 7 years. This was the beginning, I would say, of a kind of entrapment that lasted 20 years, in which clever Jacob engaged in a battle of wits with an equally clever and manipulative Laban. We see a kind of combat between Jacob, the natural, clever, yet chosen man of God, and Laban, the one used by God to squeeze Jacob and thereby deal with his natural life to prepare him for the experiences of transformation.
Ron, we're going to see some squeezings today of Jacob and maybe a lot of parallels to some squeezings of our own in this life study. Let's join Witness Lee.
The record of such a wonderful story is very interesting. But we all have to realize that Bible has no word of waste. And whatever is in the Bible is the word of life. Based upon these two principles, we must look into the Lord to see what is the life in this record. Well, after I got the enlightenment, I fully realized such a record is full of life. Full of life. I put what I saw into 3 main items. Number 1, Laban's squeeze. Number 2, Jacob's trick. One squeeze, and the other plays tricks. Have you seen this? There are 3 parties, Laban, Jacob, and what? God. After you see this, surely you will like it. But even before all these, we have to bear the basic principle with the record of Jacob. Jacob's life represents a transformed life. Regardless how Laban squeezes, that is something sovereign of God's transforming hand. God used Laban to transform Jacob because Jacob were born that kind of person. And that kind of person needs the squeezing hand. We all have to see this. I say again, never read this record for Jacob or for others, the best way to read it is for you. I tell you, in the whole universe and on this earth, you are the unique Jacob. No others are Jacobs but you. Here is a chosen saint, predestinate to be the expression of God. And how could such a supplanter, a heel holder, to be the expression of God? Surely there is the need of transformation. Not correction, but transformation. And how could this transformation be accomplished? God sovereignly put all of us into certain environment and under certain one's hand.
Ron, we've seen and heard repeatedly in our study of Jacob that his need was not correction or improvement, but transformation. I'd like to ask you about Witness Lee's word that whenever we read about Jacob, we need to read it for ourselves and not for anyone else. What does he mean by this?
I think he means that we should go beyond the mere story that's informative, if not entertaining in itself. We should recognize there is a revelation here of our life experience. But we should not read it for other people's experience of life, but for our own. In essence, this means if we are enlightened by the Spirit, as we're reading the Word and as we're receiving, as we are in this broadcast, the proper expounding of the Word, if we are enlightened, we should begin to see we are Jacob. Jacob is just we ourselves. This is a record of our own experience in principle, and we need to be open to the Lord, to be supplied by Him and trained by Him, so that we may understand what He's trying to do through our environment to transform us for the fulfillment of His purpose.
Thank you, Ron. Let's rejoin Witness Lee and more very interesting insight into Jacob's experience.
Now, we spend some time to see the squeeze of Laban. Laban accepted or received Jacob for hospitality. Just about 1 month, by that 1 month, Laban discovered that young man was smart. And Laban saw Jacob fell in love with his daughter, Rachel. As I pointed out, love blinds people and makes people foolish. And Jacob said, I will work for you 7 years just for Rachel. His love of Rachel made him foolish. Listen to this. When the 7 years expired, Laban didn't do anything. And this forced Jacob to say, 7 years expired. Give me my wife. Laban said, okay, tonight I'll give you. We all know his story. He gave another one. And the next day, it was discovered there was not the choice. Then Jacob said to Laban, I labored 7 years for Rachel. Eventually, you give me Leah. Laban said, well, this is not our custom here. I have to marry my first daughter. Then sure, I would marry my second daughter to you, but you have to work for me another 7 years. This is squeezing. Squeezing. He trapped Jacob to labor for him 14 years for the two daughters. Then he charged Jacob to labor for him another 6 years for the flock. And he changed Jacob's wages 10 times. I do believe every time of the change was a reducing, a more demanding, squeezing. Then, with this light, you come back to this record and read it. My, you would say, Lord, how much I worship you. How much I worship you. Since the day I loved you, the things happened to me in principle just in the same way. God is really sovereign. This squeezing hand didn't happen to Jacob as an accident. No. This was prearranged. Prearranged. You see, Esau, Rebekah, Isaac, the brother, the mother's father, all were used by God to put Jacob into the transformation of it. And this Laban, I tell you, is just a burning fire in the oven. All these persons are in God's hand, used by God. For whose goat? For Jacob's goat. So don't complain. You just say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for such a good Laban. Oh, Laban just fits my need. All together, Laban is my need.
Ron, I think we're all getting help to see that the squeezings in our own life are very much related to those in Jacob's. But let me ask you, how is it possible for us not to complain?
Well, it is impossible for us in our natural life not to complain. The real meaning of complaining, I believe, is that we are not satisfied with God's arrangement of our situation. We don't accept it. We don't see the point of it. We're not happy in it. So we complain. However, if we allow the Lord to impart Himself to us as grace, if we allow Him to live in us in the midst of our situations, it will, and I mean this seriously, it will be impossible for us to complain. We have no reason to complain. Outwardly, the situation remains unpleasant, but we are enveloped by the God of peace. We are supplied by the God of grace. There's a deep rest in Him, and we're living Him, and He simply is not a complainer. The Lord Jesus never complained. He always accepted the Father's arrangement. When we allow Him to live in us and to fill us, He simply doesn't complain. So the question boils down to this: are we in ourselves or are we in Christ? Are we living the natural life or are we living the divine life we received through regeneration? Complaining, or the lack thereof, is an indicator of the life by which we are living in our particular situation.
Ron, I think I'm going to keep a tape of what you just said and play it for myself the next time I'm ready to complain. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
Now, we go on to the tricky Jacob. It's quite interesting. Laban was squeezing. Jacob was squeezed, yet still, I tell you, Jacob had his trick. He prepared a way to steal Laban. Uncle Laban, you squeeze me? I will have a way to steal. You squeeze one, I steal two. Okay. He said to his uncle Laban, that means I don't want anything. Just one thing. If you promise me, I will stay. That is, from today, from your flock, you take away all the speckled, spotted, and the black ones. You take away from your flock. You only leave all the white ones. And this is yours. From now on, any cattle that will come out of your flock with some spot, speckle, and black color, that's mine. Laban surely should have thought, this is wonderful. Why? Because all the white ones will bring forth the white ones. Laban left Jacob for 3 day distance. Then Jacob got a chance to play his tricks. He peeled off the skin of some of the fresh branches of the tree to make the branches with some white straps. Then, when the flock was conceiving, he put the strong ones in front of these strapped branches. And then eventually some strapped lambs came out. Then he put all the strapped lambs aside. That was his. But listen to this. In the very next chapter, when Jacob saw the countenance of his uncle Laban, not so good. And at the same time, God came in and told him, Jacob, now is the time for you to go back. While he played the trick with these strapped branches, you know, God gave him a dream. And God called him, Jacob, look. And in the dream, he saw all the cattle leaping on others were speckled ones, spotted ones. In the dream, God indicated to him, Jacob, you got the speckled, spotted one, not by your trick, but by my sovereignty. Amen. I hope this could be made clear to all of us. We all have to learn the lesson. We are not afraid of any environment, and we are not afraid of any squeezing, and we have to learn, don't play our tricks. Someday, at least one day, your playing nature will be dealt with. We all have to see God's blessing. God's blessing. With such a person, so tricky, God still blessed. You read, I don't have the time, you read what God said to him in the dream. God told him, Jacob, I have seen all the afflictions you suffer, and I have seen how Laban work over you. But I am the God of your father. I am the God. I take care of you. I take care of you. You read, you could see, God doesn't care what Jacob was or what Jacob did. God only cared for his what? Purpose. For his purpose. What God did was fully for building up Jacob and transforming him.
Well, Ron, this was an interesting life study, certainly with an interesting, even entertaining conclusion. But I want to ask you about this very last point. What does it mean that God doesn't care what Jacob was or Jacob did? God only cared for his purpose, to fully build up Jacob and transform him.
We need to be reminded of God's purpose. God created us in his image so that we would express him. And he gave us his authority to represent him. God wants a corporate expression of himself and representation of himself with his chosen people. God desires to fill us with himself, to saturate us with himself, to transform us by himself, to make us his expression. If we see this, then we may begin to understand Brother Lee's observation that God did not care for what Jacob was or for what Jacob did. God was fully aware that Jacob was natural, that Jacob needed to be transformed. The Lord was not put off by this. He was not shocked by this. He is well able to deal with what Jacob was. His concern was not that Jacob would improve, but that Jacob would be transformed. Furthermore, God's main concern was not with what Jacob did. This is different from our view. We focus on outward behavior, on outward adjustment, on whether we are right or wrong. But we may be right, and our behavior may be proper, but God still does not care about it because in our behavior and in our being right, we're still just the natural person expressing the self. We care for what we are in ourselves and for what we do in ourselves. God cares for what we are becoming in Christ. Jacob was a chosen one. Now God is working in time to transform him and to build him up. Now transform, what does that mean? That means God imparts himself into Jacob as life to produce a metabolic change in Jacob's soul so that God is wrought into him and expressed through him. This is what God wants, not the improvement of our natural life, but the transformation of our soul. Furthermore, God wants to build himself up with himself. He wants to remake us, to reconstitute us, to refashion us, by weaving himself, by mingling himself with us. This is God's goal. What God is longing for is that we would care about for what he cares about, and that we would give ourselves over to him, not to act better in ourselves or to be better in ourselves, but to be transformed and built up in himself so that he may attain in us that part of his eternal economy to dispense himself into us, to work himself into us, and to express himself through us for his glory and for his satisfaction and eternal enjoyment. This is God's goal.
Thank you very much, Ron, for today's sharing.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us today. And for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.